you've got your Bible, Matthew chapter number 4. And we're going through this series of lessons of GPS, acrostic meaning God's Proverbs to study. And we're going through different subjects in the book of Proverbs as far as word study kind of topics. And this morning is on bread. And we're going to look at that for just a little bit. Each week will be a little bit different. Some weeks I'll stay in the book of Proverbs. Other weeks I want to use the Bible story that goes with it. And again, that's what we'll do today. Matthew chapter number 4, we're going to read responsively verses 1 through 11. I'll read, then you read. We'll read verses 1 through 11. Verse 1 says this, Matthew 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Together, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, church family, you know, you that know the passage here, there's going to be three temptations. We understand from the first one that we have the lust of the flesh. God, he comes to Jesus, says, Jesus, if you be that Son of God, you haven't eaten for 40 days. You're already physically, naturally hungry. You see those stones over there? If you're God, make them bread. All right, so that's the lust of the flesh. Jesus was God, though he was man, had a natural hunger, and that lust of the flesh, the temptation was to do what his flesh wanted. The church family, we understand that we're going to go through these same kind of temptations to where we're going to want to do what our flesh wants to do. All right, look what the next temptation is in your Bible. I think it's my turn to read verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now before you read, think about it here. First he tempts him with the lust of the flesh. Now he says, hey listen, you're at the top of this peak. If you be the Son of God, jump off. If you're truly God, jump off, and then your angels are going to catch you. The second temptation is the pride of life. We understand this from 1 John. He says, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. All right? These are the same temptations we deal with. Pride. What do people think about me? All right? The bigger question is, what does God think about you? All right? So we see the lust of the flesh, pride of life. Let's look at the last one here, verse number 7. All right? Let's read together. I'm sorry. Is that where we're at, verse 7? All right, verse number 7, together. Ready? Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. All right? Verse number 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. I'm sorry, you're all supposed to read with me. Verse number 9. I'm in another world this morning. Forgive me. Together. You ready? Verse 9. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Together. Then the devil leaveth him, and all right, now, think about his last temptation. He takes him up and says, you see all the world, you see all these cities, you see all of these places, I'll give these to you, the lust of the eyes. So again, the same temptations Christ went through, same temptations we go through, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now this morning, I'm only dealing with the first one this morning because of the word bread. So if you look back one more time, let me read it one more time with you. Verse number 3 and 4 says, and when the tempter came to him and said, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, a couple things. First of all, understand that this verse that Jesus repeats, it is written. All right, where did it come? It came from the Old Testament. What was this passage that it's talking about? It's talking about when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and in the wilderness, and God provided manna for them to eat. And when God provided them manna, that's when this verse was, these words, I should say, of God was first said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How does that correlate with manna coming down and the children of Israel eating the manna? This is how it correlates. There would have been no manna without the word of God. The manna fell because God said, manna fall. Those people were fed because God said, I'm going to feed you. So here's what the Bible's trying to teach us here. Jesus uses this Old Testament verse or words of God uses in the New Testament in a response to the temptation, lust of the flesh, by saying, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, it's not a matter of me getting physical bread to eat. It's a matter of what does God want in my life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. In other words, whatever God says, that's what I need. Whatever God says, that's what I'm going to get. All right, are we all together so far? So now, with that said this morning, I want us to think about this idea of bread. Satan comes to Jesus Christ, and he uses this bread to try to tempt Christ to feed himself physically. Now, church family, I don't have to explain what bread is, all right? It's on your lesson, but truthfully, the answer to it all is bread is food. Bread is something that you eat. The psalmist said, bread is where we get our strength, believe it or not. I'm not a big bread eater. I don't know how many, what's your, as far, and be honest with you, it's not a dieting thing. My wife will know this. I'll go to McDonald's and I'll get a Big Mac, and every time I get a Big Mac, I'm going to open up that Big Mac and take the middle piece of bread out, all right? If I order a double cheeseburger, the side of the bun that has all the ketchup, mustard, and pickle stuff, I leave that on. But the dry side, it's usually the bottom, I throw that piece out. And it's funny because my son Seth, he loves bread. So when I take off a piece of bread, he'll eat it for me. That kid needs to eat bread. There's something wrong with him, man. I call him my bag of bones. But I'm not a big bread eater. But you know what? We need bread. You know, bread is good for us in the sense that it gives us nourishment for our bodies. Now, church, I have two things of bread up here this morning. I've got this loaf of bread and these few pieces of bread. This is called Sara Lee's Delightful Bread, all right? I don't know how delightful, but healthy multigrain, all right? Healthy. But I also have Sara Lee bread also on this one here, and it is really moldy. Now, I know you can't see the mold, but it is green, all righty? So, Brother Hodgson, if I said, I'm going to give you a piece of bread, which one would you like to have? Smart choice, all righty? So he says, I think I'll have the one that's fresh. I'm not interested in eating that green, moldy bread. But church family, when it comes to the spiritual side of things, we're eating all the time. We eat physically for this body to stay alive, but we eat spiritually constantly. He said, Pastor, I don't put anything in my mouth. It's not your mouth. You feed yourself spiritually by what you see and what you hear. From the time you got up this morning, you started to put things into your mind through the eye gate and ear gate, and that's what we're talking about. You're either putting healthy bread in or you're putting bad bread in. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. So when the Bible talks about bread, we're talking about feeding ourselves spiritually and making sure that we're putting the right things in. Hey, listen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Notice we say what we think is out of the abundance of the heart. Well, what is put into the heart? The proverb says, keep thy heart with all diligence, Proverbs 4:23, for out of it are the issues of life. The word issue means plan or desires. Plan or decisions. Every plan or decision that you make comes from your heart, and your heart is affected by what you see and hear. All right, so what I've got to do is this. If I'm going to make sure that I do right, I got to put the right things in. I've met Christians, I'm not talking about lost people, I have met Christians who have got on this bandwagon of using time out for disciplining their children. I want to tell you why. Because every day going back and forth to work, they listened to Brother Mr. Dobson, this was years ago, but they would listen to Mr. Dobson about the time out program, which you should do with your children. Now, I want to tell you something, church family. It doesn't matter what Brother Mr. Dobson says. It doesn't matter what Pastor Hank says. If let God be true and... All right, so God's word is what's right when it comes to disciplining children. You're not going to find the timeout program in Scripture. Okay, I'm having trouble with my child. Timeout. Go to your corner. Sit there and think about it. No, they're not sitting there thinking about it. They're sitting there stewing. And what's happening is that you have anger in their heart, and you've got this rebellion that's going on in their heart. The Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I'm just trying to tell you that today, we're living in a society today, don't discipline your children, and Christians are telling us that, okay? We've got to go back, what does the Bible say? Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying, all right? He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. This is not abuse because you spank your child, but there are Christians today that would like to tell you their philosophy about raising children instead of taking Bible principle to tell you how to raise your children, all right? By the way, it's not just child rearing. It's in finances too. You know, God teaches us from his word. Yes, you do not go into debt. Now, I don't have time to teach what debt is and what not debt is. But this thing of using your credit card and you don't have enough money to pay your credit card off, that's not wise stewardship of God's money. Not your money. It's not wise steward of God's money. All righty. Now, again, I'm hitting bits and pieces, and I'm not teaching in length, and I'm not trying to confuse you this morning, but I am trying to say, be careful what you eat. I've met good Christians before, and they do, and I'm talking about good Christians, and I mean in their heart, they're trying to do what's right. But what's happening is they're feeding in the wrong place. And what happens, they don't know that they're feeding in the wrong place. They think they're getting healthy bread, but they're getting moldy bread. And I want to tell you what moldy bread is. Moldy bread is whenever you get anything that is contrary to the word of God or something that would lead you down a wrong path. In other words, what does he say in Psalm 1:1? All right, if you know the verse, say it with me. Ready? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now think about the next verse. You know it, all right? But his delight is in the, and in his law doth he day and night. So, I mean, our lives have to be based upon good bread, not bad bread. I have to be careful that I don't take in. Now, listen, the lost world tonight, this morning, I can probably just make a couple sentences about that, because to me, I don't think that's where Christians are getting messed up for the most part. I don't think you're getting messed up by taking in and reading books by lost people that are telling you how to live a Christian life. No, what's happening is the so-called born-again believers that are using personal experience as their basis for faith instead of using the word of God as their basis for faith. Church, I mean, this is supposed to be our faith in practice, not what man thinks. Amen. This is faith in practice, okay? Now, so what I'm trying to tell you this morning is, what bread are you eating? You're eating good bread or bad bread. And listen, if you're with our children, okay, we're living in a very technology society when it comes to the internet, when it comes to movies, when it comes to, we used to call it television anymore. I mean, they can watch movies anywhere anymore. But we have to be careful as far as what's being put into our children. My boys are really, really pushing me about a phone, all right? And they're pushing me because all your kids have phones. And they just keep telling me, well, so-and-so has a phone, and so-and-so has a phone. And of course, I tell them what you tell your kids. They're not my kid. So, you belong to me. And I smile. I smile to them, all right? So they've got this mentality. And boy, I tell you what, it's like a daily thing. And anything goes wrong at the house, it's always because we don't have a phone. It's always that. Well, if I had a phone, Dad, you know this would take care of the problem. Okay, well, church family, I want to tell you something. By me not putting a smartphone in my kid's hand, my purpose is that it's one less temptation they have to deal with. So my kids sat down with me last night to educate me. I'm serious, they did. My older boys. They sat down and said, Dad, come here, we need to talk. Okay, I'm here. So it was before I went to prison last night, so we sat down. And they took out the phone, and they went to all the parental restrictions that Apple can do. I mean, it's like they investigated. See, Dad, listen, you punch in your code, because well, you don't have to know it, punch in your code. I punched in the code, and he says, now you can restrict internet, you can restrict games, you can restrict apps, you can turn our phones off by telling what time the phone can be on. I was pretty impressed, to be honest with you. All the stuff I could do, man. I said, if I could only program you to make your bed and to get up at a certain time, this would be wonderful. Amen. Now, church, my kids are eventually going to have smartphones. I like the idea that I can restrict everything, so that's a blessing. But you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to keep as few of bread-eating temptations away from my children. I want to keep them from that. My kids are far from perfect, and I know that they have my sin nature. Okay, so because of that, I've got to do some things to try to slow the game down. By the way, church family, you know as well as I do, they are going to have a smartphone. They are going to leave me. Okay, so I have to use the time as they get older to prepare. I have to, as they're getting to that age, they're getting ready to walk out the house. I told Samuel last night. I said, Samuel, you're going to have a smartphone for sure when you go to college. I understand that. And I will keep, and I will still have you under mine, and I will still restrict you from all those miles away. I will restrict everything that you do. Well, not everything, but almost everything. Amen. But what are we doing as parents? All we're trying to do is only eat good bread. That's all we're trying to do. And I want to tell you something, if we don't eat good bread as parents, you're going to have a hard time giving good bread to your children. So here's what he's trying to say, and if the Lord allows, I'm going to just take 6 minutes, and that's a blessing. I want to take these last 6 minutes this morning. I am going to end on time, Lord permitting. Don't you like it when you always add Lord permitting? Anyway, God bless you. All right, so now, here's this last thing. If it's in your lesson, I want you to think about what Jesus said about this good bread, all right? Quickly, I'm going to just point out these quickly things, these four things. I think they're all in your lesson this morning. And again, I hope you'll read the other things on from the book of Proverbs on bread. And now, here's what Jesus, when he said to Satan, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Here's what I want you think about. First of all is this. Spiritual bread is what always combats Satan. What's the spiritual bread? It's the word of God. But what combats Satan, all three times, Jesus said, it is written. All three times. What bread is for the body, the Bible is for the soul. So in other words, I am going to eat physically three times a day. Church, it would be a wonderful thing if you had a planned time to eat spiritually. If I'm going to plan a time to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper, then I ought to have a planned time that I'm going to have spiritual food. I have to make a plan in order to eat. Church, I don't know if percentages are true, but overall, most churches, only 25% of the congregation is actually reading their Bible. That means one in four people are actually have a scheduled time as far as reading the Bible. Now, you wouldn't go without eating physically that long. This morning, church, I've had more than one person come to me, and it's usually when they're in a spiritual crisis. I've had more than one person come to me and say, Pastor, I'm just not reading my Bible, and I know it. Now, this morning, I'm not asking for a raise of hands, but you know it. And I'm just trying to tell you the most important thing that you need to do every day of your life is eat good bread. Amen. And I want to tell you where the good bread is. It's called the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You have to put it in. I was at the prison last night, and one of the ladies came up to me. She says, well, you know, I'm not reading my Bible, and I know I should. And I told him, I said, listen, don't bother with the Old Testament. I wasn't saying it was important. I said, if you're going to start reading, you start reading in the New Testament, something that's easy to understand. And I said, you just put yourself on a schedule, and you've got to read every day. You've got to put the Word of God in. You know why? Because you need good bread. Amen. Church, I'm going to look at you. I'm talking to adults this morning. You are bombarded with bad bread every day of your life. Right. You say, what's the bad bread? It's everything I see in here. Church, I can't even drive home without some hussy jogging down the street with shorts on and hardly anything on her top. And I have to drive by that and turn my head. And you're putting all of those things in on a regular basis as you live out in this world that you don't have much to do. Today was a wonderful thing, the first time ever that I can remember. But I got to study in a McDonald's where there was no music on. Amen. You know how many times I have to put earbuds in because of the music? Yesterday, I was in a McDonald's and studying, and the music was so stinking loud. I went to the manager and said, hey, listen, I just want you to know your music's awful loud. Just remember, we're bombarded with the devil's music and his pictures and his philosophies. I want to tell you something. If all you're eating is bad bread, you're going to be a bad Christian. Whether you want to or not, you will be. How many times have you heard this? You are what you eat. You know, it's funny. We know, and that's not even a Bible verse, by the way. We are what we eat. And we say, goodness, if you're going to take care of the body, you need to make sure you put good things in and be a healthy person. Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to take care of your spiritual body, you got to put good things in and be a spiritual person. All right, so the first thing I see is this, is I see that spiritual bread will combat Satan. Second of all, spiritual bread is necessary, or it's a necessity. It's necessary for life. Man shall not live by bread alone. Now think about it here. Jesus is trying to say, you're not going to live without bread. Now the word bread, it means food. Man shall not live. In other words, you will not live by bread alone. In other words, it's kind of like he's making two statements, okay? He is making a spiritual statement that you're not just going to live on physical food, you're going to live on spiritual food. But he's also making the statement that a person can't live without food. That's right. Church, I mean, you can't live spiritually without spiritual food. This morning you came to Sunday school, and I'm very thankful for that. But really, you coming to Sunday school is eating time. You say, eating time? Think about it. 1 Peter chapter number 5. When he talked to pastors in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 3, he said, feed the flock of God. You know what you came for tonight, or this morning? You came for feeding. You came for something from the Word of God that you can understand and you can apply and you can think about and you can meditate upon that would hopefully not only just help your life, but change your life. So the second thing I see is spiritual food is necessary. It's a necessity for life. Next one, spiritual bread. Again, I think these are your lessons. Spiritual bread is every word of the Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I hope you understand when I told that lady in the prison, she didn't have to start in the Old Testament, she's starting the New. Again, I was trying to get her started. I was not saying every word. So that means when you're reading the genealogies, still it's every word. When you're reading things that are stories you don't think are pertinent to you, it's still every word. All right. There's something about the word of God, quick and powerful. I'll close with this. We have the ladies at the prison, and they go take that medicine and everything. And I, of course, I've told you and I told them the same thing because it happens all the time. When we left last night, the prison, we preached in the medium security, which is J cell. And last night, we probably, Mrs. Edward, tell me how many ladies came out last night. 45 ladies came out. That's a blessing. 45 ladies came out. But as soon as the service is over and I dismissed, they go out before we do because we're gathering stuff up. But as soon as I walked out the door of the chapel, little chapel room that we're in, there was it's a hallway. It's a long hallway. The entire hallway was lined up with women in single file all the way back to the door. And I'm telling you, it was a long hallway. They're all there. So when I go, goodbye, 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 have, see you later, they're all standing. You know why they're standing there? Every one of them are standing there to get medicine. I, without a doubt, I would say 80 to 90%, if not more, of the ladies in prison are all medicated. Medicated. They stand in line for medication. And you know, it's neat because I get to the front of the line and there's a little nurse there. And she's putting these pills in cups. And of course, they have to take it, and they have to take it right then because they don't want them taking them back to their wherever they're going. But so they have to open their mouth, make sure they're swallowing it. Did you know, Elves, every person in that line has no idea what they're taking, but the only reason they're taking it is because the doctor said, you need to take this because it's going to help you. And they have no idea what they're taking. They don't know what it's called. They don't know the ingredients. They don't know anything, but they take it because somebody said it's good for them. But you can't get a Christian to read the Word of God because here's what they say. Well, I don't understand it anyway. I don't know that it's doing anything for me anyway. And the Word of God is more powerful than any ingredient of any pill that you will ever take in your life. Amen. Because it does not affect your physical as much as it affects your spiritual. You need to read the Word of God. And you need to read it on a regular basis. And whether you understand it or not, you need to read it. And you know what? Pray what the psalmist prays every time before you open the book. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119:18. God, teach me. And he will. All right? So this morning, I'm done. Unfortunately, we get this junk all day long. All day long. This is Sunday, the Lord's day. And you will still get this junk because you're going to be out there in the world today. Somebody ought to be planning on putting this in. The Word of God on a regular basis. It's your food. Put it in, all right?